Can you see my screen? No.
Not yet.
Yes, go ahead. Yes.
Oh, not the screen.
I can see you fine.
Okay, try again now.
Says host disabled attendee screen sharing.
Okay, go ahead and try. Again, please.
Share screen.
Yes. There.
Can you see the screen now?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Well, we are going to continue with the book of Revelation. And we're going to start with Revelation chapter 5 today. However, before I start, I will review the first four chapters quickly in about 7 minutes or so, and we will look at that. The book of Revelation is about the revelation of one man, which is Jesus Christ. And here we see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and here the author is John, Apostle John, who has been exiled to the Isle of Patmos because of his testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Word of God. Just in a nutshell here, we see that the cross here, the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, on the third day he was resurrected, and 40 days on this earth, after which he ascended into heaven. And there starts the Revelation chapter 1, where Apostle John is talking about the Son, the glorified Christ. And then from chapter 2 to chapter 3, talks about the church, which are the seven churches, which is mentioned in chapter 2 and 3. And at the end of chapter 3, we see that the church is taken up to heaven. And so we see John in heaven, and the presence of the throne of God is presented to us. Chapter 6 to chapter 18 talks about the great tribulation that takes place on this earth. And then chapter 19 talks about the return, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and where he puts his enemies and take control of the earth, and he ushers in the 1,000 millennial reign of Christ. So in chapter 20, we see that, and as we go on to chapter 21 and 22, describes eternity. So this revelation was given by God to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ in turn gave it to John through an angel, and John in turn gives it to his servants, the seven churches. And then from there, we are fortunate to have this book, and the book is open so that we have the privilege to study the book of Revelation. And as I mentioned, John was exiled in the Isle of Patmos. He's there, seen, sitting, and Patmos was a quarry with a lot of rocks, and the roads of Rome was built by the rocks from here. It also describes that Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega, which is the alphabets of the Greek letters, Alpha and Omega, and it is with these letters that the words are made. We find that Apostle John was exiled by the Emperor of Rome by the name of Domitian, and he was the one that had exiled him. And Jesus told in his revelation to write these letters and to send it to the seven churches at Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I just want to spend a minute on one more verse in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. It says, write the things which thou hast seen, What are the things that Apostle John has seen? He has seen the glorified Christ. And in chapter 1, that is what he describes. Secondly, he says, and the things which are. What are the things which are? And the things which are is described in chapter 2 and 3, and that is the things of the church. And then the things which shall be hereafter. And those are the things that are to come. It's in the future. It is not something that is happening right now, but it is for the future, starting from verse number 4, 5, and onwards, till we go to chapter 19 with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we need to go, chapter 2 and 3 talks about the church. Chapter 4, we need to see describing the throne of God. The throne of God, something very quickly that we will go through because it sets the stage for us to study today in Revelation chapter 5. The throne of God, we have in the middle, the throne of God, and God is in the spirit and is described as sardine stones and jasper, which is red in color and diamond in appearance. And then the throne is surrounded by emerald, by an arrow or a rainbow, rather a rainbow with emerald green color, beautiful emerald green. On either sides, we see the seats for the 24 elders, and the elders have the white gown, and also on their heads, they have the crowns of gold. In front of the throne are the seven lambs. The seven lambs indicates the Spirit of God, and that is described in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, and it talks about the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, and Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. These are the seven spirits. In front of that is the sea of glass as crystal. And in front of that is the four creatures. Some translation describes as beast. These are angels with six wings and eyes all about them. The first one described with the head of a lion. The second one, head of the calf. The third one, head of man. And the fourth one here, head of a flying eagle. Now, with this description we have, we go into chapter 5 and verse 1. It reads here, let me just get to the verse of that. Verse 1, it says, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I, who is this I? It's Apostle John. John is saying on the right hand or in the right hand of God who is on the throne, a scroll. What is a scroll? A scroll is a parchment paper or a medium to write on. A scroll also means either a roll or a curl because the scroll is something that is rolled up here in this picture as we see. And this roll had writings both inside and outside. That tells us there is so much of information that God has written on this, and it is to be revealed to us the things that are to happen on this earth. And it says it was sealed with seven seals. What's the importance of the seal? You know, some of us might have seen a seal. It is a red wax that is melted, and it is placed on the letter or the envelope, whatever the information is to be sent, and it is only the person it is addressed to is to open that scroll or that letter. And then in olden days or in times past, the Roman emperors used to give or write their will and testament in a scroll, and they would seal it with the seven seals. These seven seals are there so that only the intended person is to open that scroll. If you look at verse number 2, it says, "And I," which is John, "saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seven seals?'" Now, I have a picture of a strong angel. It does not name who the angel is. It could be any one of the angels, probably one high in the hierarchy of the angels. Among the archangels, we know that there's Michael, Gabriel, and the others are Raphael, Uriel, Seraphiel, and a few others. And here, John reads and sees a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice. When it says a loud voice, in my thinking, it's probably very loud. Why is it very loud? We'll see that in verse number 3. And what he's shouting out, or in this loud voice, what he's shouting is, "Who is worthy to open this book and to loose the seals thereof?" So he's questioning, is there somebody that is worthy to open the book? And we see the answer in verse number 3. "And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." So why I mentioned it was probably a very loud voice, because this voice had to be heard not only in heaven, where we see the angel, but also on earth and also under the earth. Who are those that reside under the earth? Of course, those are the people, probably the angelic inhabitants in Hades, the men and women that didn't trust in the Lord or who didn't believe in God. They are the ones there. And so this message was given to them also. And the answer was, there was no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth, that was worthy to open this scroll with this information right here. And then we see in verse number 4, "And I wept much." That's very significant. Why is John weeping? What is the reason that John had to weep in this case? The answer is given just beside it, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. So that was the reason why. Why was he so much in tears, weeping, sorrowful? Because he was eager, just like everyone else, to see what God had written in this book, because, or in the scroll, because both inside and outside was written, and there is definitely a lot of information. And inside and outside is the word of God that is written there, and is probably what is to happen on this earth. However, we see as we go to verse number 5, "And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.'" We see that in the throne of God, there are 24 elders. They are seated there, and one of them. So that tells us that these elders are aware and knowledgeable. "And one of the elders said unto John, 'Weep not.'" He consoled him. He pacified him. He told him, "Weep not," because that sorrow for John was so much, so great. And he said what? He said, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." You see, the tribe of Judah, Judah was the son, one of the sons of Jacob, and his tribe, somebody in his tribe who is depicted as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And from Genesis, we see that the line of the tribe of Judah. And we know from our studies, this is Jesus Christ, the lion. Just a little information about lions. Of course, we know lions are the kings of the wild animal kingdom. And another information about lions are they, when they sleep with their eyes open. The reason for that is because they need to be aware of their surroundings. And those animals, when they sleep with their eyes open, it tells us that their brains are functioning. You see, when man sleeps, they sleep with both eyes closed most of the time, and their brains is at rest. We are charging our brains during the time of rest so that we can function again the next day after 6 or 8 hours of rest, and our brain can function again. However, in this animal kingdom, a few of them have this privilege where they sleep with their eyes open. It may not be both the eyes, it be at least one eye. If you also look at one of the other animals, or the whale family, they also sleep with one eye or both eyes open. And another interesting information about whales is they can even swim while they are sleeping, telling us that their brains are still functioning when they sleep. And then we see the root of David, meaning from the family of David. This is mentioned in the book of Isaiah 2. And it says, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. I like this word prevailed. Prevailed means, had prevailed means has been victorious. He has survived. He is victorious. And because of that, he is present there. He is present to open the book. Which book? The scroll. Okay, some translations do give it as a book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. Because unless and until you break the seals or loose the seals or open the seals, you cannot open the book or open the scroll and get and retrieve the information. And so John, Apostle John, is very interested to know this information, and the elders are also interested to get this information. Verse number 6, it says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, which has seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. See what he had seen in the midst of the throne. So this is telling us, because when we looked at chapter 4 and when we were looking at those present in the throne, this one person that was missing was the Lamb of God. And here we find that this is the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He's the one that is stood as the Lamb, stood a Lamb as it had been slain, which has seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. If you look at this, and as I was pondering on this verse, we see that this lamb is standing up. We read and study in the Word of God that when Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, he was seated at the right hand of God, our Lord. And now we see this lamb is standing up. He's ready for action. There is something that is going to happen. And he's up. He is standing up. And it, as it has been slain, it appears that he was slain. So when you look at this part here, we see the memory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is fresh in the minds of those that are in the throne of God. throne of God, that the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he was crucified upon the cross. And we see a lamb as it had been slain with seven horns. What's the significance of seven horns? So horns at all. Animals that have horns, they are usually strong. They are strong, and we find seven horns, they are very strong, and seven eyes, which means they are all-knowing, they are omniscient, and the seven horns indicates omnipotence. So we see the Lamb of God that is there as it had been slain is omniscient, omnipotent, and also we see the seven eyes are the seven spirits of God that is sent forth into the world. Let us look at verse number 8. I've got a picture to describe this. The Lamb of God here, we find the blood stains as it was slain all over this place. We find seven horns over here showing the omnipotence of God, and the omniscience with seven eyes indicating all-knowing Savior. We find that this is fresh in the minds of the people up on the throne of God. Here we see the Lamb then takes the scroll. This is verse number 7. It says, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that stood upon the throne. That sat upon the throne. So if you see, this is the picture. We see the right hand of God with the scroll with seven seals, and here the Lamb, as it was slain, was standing up, comes, and he was the only one found to be worthy to take the book out of the Father's hand. And we see this picture here. Got another picture just depicting the Lion of Judah. He is fierce looking, he is strong, he is powerful, and these are pictures of the four creatures, head of a lion, head of man, head of a calf, and head of a flying eagle. So we find in verse number 7 that the Lamb comes and takes the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. So it is only Jesus Christ that was worthy to take that book. And look at verse number 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of incense or odors, and as verse number 8, which are the prayer of saints. Our dear brother Kunyaman last month was teaching us about worship, and he mentioned about this, the vials that contained the incense, and which are the prayers of saints that are ascending up to the Father. And we see as they worship God, as they praise God and the Lamb, we find that they are having harps in their hands, which tells us they are worshiping him in music and with instruments. They are worshiping him and praising God. And when did this happen? As soon as the Lamb takes the book from the hand of God, and they fall down, the 24 elders falls down on the feet and worships him. And they say in verse number 9, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou was slain and has redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations. When you see this, thou art worthy. That's the one of the highest honors that can be given to God the Father and to our Savior. Thou art worthy to take the book. You see, during the Roman rule, Roman Empire time, when the emperor visited cities and towns, the people gathered on either sides of the road and they sang to him, "Worthy art thou," or "Thou art worthy," because the Caesar family, Caesar group of rulers, or the Caesar family of rulers, they considered themselves gods. They thought they were gods. One of the reasons why Apostle John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos was because he was teaching the people and telling the people about God the Father, God. And the emperors did not like it. And Emperor Domitian felt that there is no other God besides him. And that's why he exiled him. And here they are singing a new song. What's this? What is something new about this song? There are many reasons for them to sing this song. If you look at chapter 4, verse 11, I will just read that for you. It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." See, the worship there, the praise there, was praising God for creation, for the creation of this universe. That's what it is. But here, as you look at it, as they were worshiping God, they are worshiping for redemption, for his work of redemption. And that is the reason for this song now and the worship. When you look at this song, it's telling us about the price of redemption. Price of redemption. For how do we know that? Because it says, "For thou wast slain." So it says, "For thou wast slain," and that is the price that he had paid for the redemption for each one of us. And then it says, the song honors the work of redemption. You have redeemed us. We were the ones that were redeemed by his death upon the cross of Calvary. And then we see the worker of redemption, which is, as I mentioned, have redeemed us. Secondly, we see the destination of redemption. Where have we been redeemed to? He has redeemed us to God. And that's what it says at the latter half of verse number 9. And how? What was the payment of that redemption? The payment was by thy blood. And the scope of the redemption was for every mankind, every tongue, every people, and every nation, meaning that it is for everyone that was that the redemption was. What a wonderful portion or verse that we read here, and they sung a new song. What was the reason for that new song? The reason for the new song was things new had happened, that the Son of God had just become a man. Second reason is the new thing is the Son of God ascended into heaven as a man. And so now in heaven, we have a man representing us, the man Christ Jesus. And we see that. It is a new thing to give for us to have remission of our sins because he has shed his precious blood for us. It is a new thing also to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. These are all new things. This was done for man, for us. He didn't do that for the angels, although we had fallen angels. But for fallen man is what it was. And they sung this new song, the four beasts and the 20 elders. And who else did that? If you look at verse number 10. "And hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." So what we are seeing here is he has made us kings. How did we become kings? we were born into the family of God. It was a kingly family. And so we are kings and priests. Of course, we are a kingdom of priests, a priesthood that has been ordained and given to us. And it says our function, and we shall reign on the earth. So those are the reasons why this new song was sung. And if you look at verse number 11, and it says, and I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. Has anybody tried to calculate that number? I don't know if anyone has, because that's not the intention here. The intention is to tell us it was just so much, innumerable, so much. You know, we can count maybe to 1,000, maybe 1,000,000, maybe a billion, and now maybe even 1,000,000,000,000, because we should be able to know that word trillion, because the debt of America is now close to 22 million, not adding the other 3.2 trillion that was added on, and the Fed has added another $3 trillion. But what I wanted to emphasize is in this chart, you see that a million is one. 1 million is one and six zeros. A billion is one and nine zeros. A trillion is one and 12 zeros. You see that these zeros are increased by three to every name that is given. But the important thing that I want to just mention is when you look at one and 100 zeros, it is called 10 duotrig intillion, or it's called Google. Now you may know how Google got its name. It is from this 1 to the power of 100. I do not know what they're intending to say to us, whether they will be that type of company, but whatever it is. So we see the number 10,000 times 10,000 plus thousands and thousands is the number of people worshiping the Lord. Look at this picture. Christ in the middle with those angels. They are singing away. What are they singing? They are singing, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. What a song, rightly so, to praise our Lord God. You see, we are doing the same thing. You see, we will be in heaven when these things are supposed to happen. We are raptured up. We already saw at the end of chapter 3 and beginning of chapter 4, the church is in heaven. And we are there singing unto our Lord, and rightly so, to worship our Lord. And we see in the next verse, and every creature which is in heaven and which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing, honor, and glory, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. They are there to worship. We will be there to worship, and we are there at this time that is going on. Friends, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, these things have not happened as yet. It is in the future, because as in chapter 1, verse 19, our Lord tells him to write the things that thou hast seen, and the things that which are, and the things that are to be. And these are the things for the future. I know that there are some that do say that some of the things are happening now. It is not. Of course, we are living at a terrible time, something that we have never experienced, but there is nothing like what we will start seeing in chapter 6. And as we look at verse number 14, and the four beasts said amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him and thanked him forever and ever. A picture here, it says, and every created thing was saying, blessing, honor, glory, and dominion to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And the four creatures, the four of these angels with six wings and eyes all around them, and they said, amen. So as we see, we have completed chapter 5. And just to recapitulate, chapter 5 talks about the church in heaven and the book with seven seals. And going back to the first five chapters, we see the glorified Christ in chapter 1, or we see the Son. Chapter 2, we see the church on earth. Chapter 3 also is the church on earth. Chapter 4 and chapter 5 talks about the church in heaven. And chapter 4 talks about the throne of God. And chapter 5, where God is holding the scroll with seven seals, and we see the Lamb that was slain taking the scroll from the Lord. Next week, next Tuesday, we will be starting chapter 6, and we will be talking about the four horses of the apocalypse, the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse. So you can read those chapters, and we will go through that, and may God and we praise God for this study, and thank him for it. Let us close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time and this hour that thou hast given to us. Father, thank you for the revelation of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was here on earth. He came for us, for fallen man. And we thank you and praise you for that. If not for him, our fate would have been so much different. But today we have the promise of eternal life. You have promised us you will take us to heaven. And our prayer today is for you to come soon, O Lord, and take us all to heaven so we can be there with you and sing along with the 24 elders and the beast and the chorus of angels that are there and worship you and thank you for your creation and for your redemption. Father, we thank you for each one that is here, and we pray for each one that has not been able to be here. We pray that you would be with them wherever they are. Father, you're awesome. We thank you. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's precious name, amen.